Welcome to Explain the Prophetic, where each week I give you a prophetic perspective, and we sometimes have interviews, and we're looking together for how hearing God's voice can change not only our lives, but the world around us. You can hear God, and as you build that connection, your whole life will change. Remember to follow me at social media, at Sean Bowles, or subscribe to this podcast. Welcome to Exploring the Prophetic. Oh my gosh, this has been quite a time because 2025 has hit everybody so hard. It's a completely new year. There's so many new things that are playing out all over the economy that are just at least percolating all over the economy. And also in our lives, there's so many different types of things that God has been leading us into as his people. And it's time to get the provision we need to do every vision God has for us. And there's something about this word, this January for 2025, that is one of the key things I've seen over and over, but I've been waiting to tell you until now, because it's time for you to get vision for your life. If you have a destiny, there is a full provision for it. You might have heard me say that before if you followed me before, but you might have heard another pastor say it. But I'm going to kind of give you some places to wrap your faith around, to root yourself, to anchor yourself in, because spiritually, God is doing something this year to set you up for his success, not just for your success, for his success in the vision he's dreamed of before time even began. Ephesians even talks about that. Before time began, God thought of you. He thought of your destiny, thought of what you would do in life. And so for every vision, there's a provision. And I kept having this reoccurring spiritual sense and kind of a vision that there was like these things raining from heaven. And I was like looking at it going, what am I seeing? I couldn't, like, it just kept coming. I was like, what am I seeing? And it wasn't just like money, or it wasn't just like, you know, gold bars, so to speak, like old fashioned kind of vision that people have had in past charismatic movements. But it was like everything. It was everything we would need. It was relationships and talent and creativity and businesses and politics and, you know, new methods and all these things were raining down. And I felt like they were raining down on the people who had prepared themselves for them. They were raining down on people who were standing in a place of faith. So I feel strongly that God wants to release faith over you, hopefully through this time we have together here concerning provision. And if you already have that faith, that this will give you kind of that nudge into really praying specific things, to really activating it. Because some of you have been asking God, how am I going to do what I'm called to do? I mean, where is the resource, or where is this going to come from? Like, this is going to take a miracle. And you, of course, serve the miracle working God. At the same time, you have to have an expectation by how God treated the Jewish people and the Hebrews in the Old Testament, all the way into the early church, that when God wants something done, he provides for it. When God wants something done, he does miracles. He moves mountains. He closes or opens, you know, water sources so that you can walk across. He's the God who can do things that no one else can do. And you got to look at what he's called you to is something that you can't do for yourself. So that means you can't ask the question. The question today should be, am I really called to this because it hasn't all happened yet and the provision's not there? That should not be your question. That's a question that's a lack of faith. The question should be, oh God, how are you going to perform what you've called me to? Because it's yours. And so it's no longer about you being able to come up with something, but it's about God being able to do something through you. And if the Lord's saying, I've given you the vision, then he's also assigned the provision for it. That's just what we know. If he's given you a sense of calling, a purpose to serve this generation, to make Jesus known, there's no way that he wouldn't allow you to have what you need to make him known. And I'm going to give you three reasons why provision will come, for sure, biblically. And the first one is one of the most obvious, which is God is a father. And a father provides for their children, and it's his nature. It's a nature of the father to provide for you. From the very beginning, God created us, like I said, for destiny before, and that destiny has a fully funded plan. Some of you have never experienced that yet. Some of you have felt like, well, I tried to do this and it didn't fully work out. And there is kind of a trial and error process of saying, okay, I'm supposed to start the business, or I'm supposed to start the group, or I'm supposed to, you know, help this family, or I'm supposed to do something with people who have high needs. And it's hard because we have to learn the rhythm of how God releases his resources. And we have to, and it comes through intimacy, connection with him, and then through the people he brings into your life from that. And that's hard because we want to be able to perform it. We want to be able to accomplish it. But the things that God's called you to take his work, not yours. The thing that God's called you to take his intention before they take your intention. And God's not a neglectful father. He never is withholding from you for a reason because you didn't do enough or because you didn't believe enough or whatever, but your faith is a currency to allow these things to get unlocked, because Faith moves mountains. Faith creates realms of possibility for people around you. And he's a creator. God is a creator, and he can bring resources that don't even exist into your life. He could, you know, he's a God who calls things that are not as though they are. These are all scriptures, and we know that he calls what's not as though it is. Romans 4:17. The second reason why we know God will provide is because he is a provider. That's one of his names in the Bible. And even in times of the sacrifices that we make, God brings his provision, which is completely different than our best of what we can bring to him. And that was no better displayed than with Abraham and Isaac, when God said, hey, give me your promised firstborn son and bring him up and sacrifice him up in the mountain. And this is one of the weirdest stories in the Bible. It's in Genesis 22:11. And I think, like, when you think about what God says to him is basically, I'm going to provide for you this goat of sacrifice instead of your son. But he wanted to see if Abraham was willing to give up the most precious thing in his life and to trust God, that God would bring a last minute miracle, and that he wasn't going to require that. He's not like any other God. Other gods do require those kinds of sacrifices because they're demons. They're false gods. But our God provides out of his own nature. He provides where it costs him something, not where it costs us something. And so though we pay a price in how we pursue him and love him and surrender our lives to him, it's always unto more for us. It's not unto less for us and more for him. And that's one of the most beautiful things about Christianity, is that God gives us through Jesus everything. And that's unheard of for other religions. It's always for the sake of the God becoming more. God's already all. He's already everything. So he doesn't need our sacrifice. But to have the kind of relationship he wants with us, we get to give it. And so I love Jehovah Jireh was the name he was called in with the Abraham Isaac story. And he provided the ram in the thicket. Some of you are in a test right now where God's shaping your character, and he's asking, you know, maybe in your endurance is at its max, and you're, because of your trust for him, and he's saying, lay down or surrender, or give me what you think you've been working on so hard, or give me that situation in your family, or that situation in your finances. Let me move in it. Like, just surrender it to me, as if there's no outcome outside of me that you're going to have. And that's a really hard place sometimes for us to be. We've been in that, my wife and I and our family. We've been in that several times where it's like God said, surrender everything on the table of surrender that you can, and then watch me do what I'm going to do. And we go in and out of seasons like that, because the Abraham Isaac thing, though, that may be a one-time story. The attitude of sacrifice and saying, God, everything's yours, is a lifestyle. And it's really important that we stay there, for the provider can't provide if we're providing for ourselves or if we think we got it all figured out. He wants to come in such miraculous ways that when we look at it at the end of the age, when we look at it with Jesus, we go, you were everywhere and we couldn't have performed any of that. You know, you're so glorious, and we're worshiping him not because I knew everything and I knew how to do it for you, God, but it's because even in the midst of what I did know, you were so much greater than that, and you did so much. So I think that that's the most beautiful part of Christianity, is that I love the intentionality of planning something and getting it done, but I also love how we include God and he gives us a different outcome because of what he provides for us. And then number three, we know this one, but we don't think of this one. Not many of us live with the urgency that Jesus is returning. But the number three reason why God provides is because Jesus is returning. He's returning for a prepared bride. He's returning for a bride that's mature, that has been refined, that has been prepared, that knows how to bring transformation, and to bring transformation the way that we're called to bring. Whether it was the early church when they had to provide during a time of famine, they had to store up. There was provision in that storing up. There was planning. There was a whole expert understanding of wisdom on how to accumulate so that all brothers wouldn't be in need later on. And so I think that, you know, that was a several year famine. So we see it right in the early church that God provided strategy, plan, unity, connection for his greater purpose of the church being birthed. Well, for Jesus and his return, he's returning for something that's worthy of him. And for us to have that, we have to become something. And for us to become something, we need the resources. So the Father is investing his resources in us becoming something. This isn't a wealthy, you know, good-looking church in the world standards. This is a people who know how to say yes to Jesus, that know how to repent, that know how to love, that know how to give, that know how to sacrifice, that know how to bring transformation into society, that know how to bring God's original plan back into areas that has been defiled. And Jesus is coming back for that. And maybe the whole world won't look that way, but there's going to be enough of the world that has that vision of the bride in it that Jesus will return. And when he returns, that bride, that those people, those Christians who look that way, they will have been provided for. They will be accessing by faith some of the greatest provision in world's history to usher in that age. And I think it with Jesus, and I think it's going to be so amazing. And that includes money and relationships and creativity and business and politics and technology. Like we talked about before, all these influential ways that God wants to walk with his people and have his people influence through. And I think God wants his people to influence through all kinds of different ways that we don't even think of today. There's new technologies out, like artificial intelligence today is different than any other artificial intelligence. And there's so many other aviations changing and so many other things are changing. And God wants Christians to influence in different areas for the sake of his glory. So those are three of the main reasons why God brings provision. And maybe you see yourself in one of those, like, oh my gosh, I really want to see Jesus return to something beautiful. And I want to use my life to build transformation. Or maybe it's, I never knew God as a father or as a provider. I didn't have a natural father or parental system that provided for me what I needed to really do the greater things and the vision I had in life. Or maybe it's that second one. So I want to encourage you to like look at those and think, you know, if these are some of the accelerators of provision, am I walking in that those understandings biblically? You know, the sacrifice of Abraham and Isaac, those kinds of things. But I also want to look at three things provision is blocked by. And the first and greatest one is just our own unbelief. And sometimes the enemy can convince you that God's vision for you is too big or that you're not worthy of it. Like unworthiness is a big part of unbelief, or he can keep you from receiving what God's already prepared for you because you just don't believe he wants to do it. Because you fundamentally have something inside of you that is breaking your yes to God. And we want to get healed of anything that breaks our yes to Jesus. And that might require discipleship in a local church. It might require therapy. It might require picking new friends. I mean, there's all those studies about friendships, the five people you surround yourself with, you become the most alike. Do you have the right people around you? But getting to a place where there's belief in your life and getting people who believe the way you believe so that you could actually have supporters and you could support them. And I think the second area that blocks this kind of provision is a poverty or lack mindset. And that one's a huge one in our generation because especially going through coronavirus and then coming out of it with somewhat of a recession and having poverty mindset and friendships, having poverty mindset and resources and finances. I mean, we lived in like kind of like a minor version of the Great Depression where there was resources. It was out of stupidity, but like even toilet paper and paper towels and fresh fruit and all those things got stolen from us for months because of bad policy, because people were afraid, and that fear created a lack mindset in a lot of people where some people still not store because they're being maybe preppers, but they're hoarding because they don't know what's going to be missing out of their life. And so the lack mindset or the poverty mindset really is a hard one because you can't access God's provision when that thing is blocking. You only have so much capacity. And if you have that in you, it's blocking your provision capacity. And when we live as though there's not enough, we stop expecting supernatural provision. That's just honest. We think in terms of limits instead of the abundance of Christ. And Philippians 4:19 talks all about the abundance of Christ. And I think it's really important that we live with a measure that there's always enough in Jesus. There's always more. And I see this with some of the countries I've had the privilege of visiting through the years, who are some of the poorest countries in the world. And I could see the provision mindset at IDP camps or with people who are going through great turmoil and don't have anything. And yet when they're Christians, they have this expectation that God's always enough. And it's trained me to look for that even in a rich country like America, where we have, even when we don't have resources, we are still abundantly more rich than half the world. You know, so it's like, for me personally, I look at it and go, I want to stand in an attitude that God can always do anything he wants to do. So if we have a project or something that he's dreaming of, or we don't start out with, how is he going to do it? Or we don't have that. We start out with like, okay, it's going to take a big God miracle. And we're going to start to tie our faith to that as God reveals more and more of his plan in that. And we're going to just see what God will do. We're going to choose to believe first and allow him to disciple our unbelief as opposed to choosing to disbelieve first and trying to get to muster up a place of faith, which may be impossible to build once you start out with the unbelief. Then the second area is busyness and neglecting the vision. Sometimes you have a vision or you have something that you know God wants to do in your life. Maybe it's a project, like create a project based or like a business you're going to start or a book you're supposed to write or something. Maybe it's something that you're supposed to do that's outreach or something for a people group that's, you know, disenfranchised or hurting. Maybe it's something about a political cause. And so a lot of times we'll neglect these visions. They come in last because we busy ourselves with all kinds of things. And we realize you have a lot of time in your day, but there's a lot of time thieves in your day. And so if you're going to walk into provision, one of the things you have to do is you have to keep good boundaries. You have to keep good boundaries for what's important. And I've been guilty of this for years of just like doing good, but not doing the perfect or doing the best or doing the right thing that I'm supposed to do. So I gave so much of my energy to so many different groups and causes and things. And I'm glad, I'm grateful that I was able to help support some things, but it made everything I was doing a little bit watered down versus focusing. I mean, I've been in ministry for over 30 years. So the first 15 years, I could be like a spiritual tourist at times. I just go visit something that felt like it had needs to it and just kind of drop off something and then go on to the next thing. And what vision that God gives you requires is rootedness in its understanding that there's provision when you walk with something long-term and have a real relationship to it. So I hope that makes sense. And if we're distracted, not working towards the vision God's given us, we miss the doors he's opening. And that happens to so many of us where we look back and go, oh my gosh, my life could have been so different if I had just jumped through that door or I accepted an opportunity or whatever it is. And stewarding a vision requires real intentionality of timing, like I said. Well, my count was off, and I'll give you a fourth special one just to tell you like something that blocks provision. And it's just not believing that you can steward it or that you're the one that God wants to steward it. There's something of an imposter syndrome that happens with Christians where God gives you a vision for your life. And then you think like, why me? Why would he choose me? I'm not worthy and all these things. And the reality is that none of us are worthy. Only Jesus is worthy. And so it's impossible to muster up courage based on your own worthiness or based on your own ability. But when you say, Jesus, for your sake, I will follow you. For your sake, I will access anything you have for me in this area. And I love my friend Bob Hassan, one time brought this up to me, he does explain the marketplace with me. The scripture where it says, don't despise small beginnings. And the second part of that we often don't quote, which is, for God loves when we start. So many of us are robbed, especially this generation of social media, where everything looks bigger than life. And if you're not doing it big to become a multi-gazillionaire, you're not doing it right. And so many of us are just, we focus on ministries that are so mega and everything's so big. And so we focus on, if God gives us a vision, we want to upgrade it to the fullest form of what it could maybe mean in our lifetime. And so we miss the moment we're in to just do something, to just take steps. And I've had friends in LA who felt called to homeless people. And when they first felt called, they were like, oh my gosh, you know, move over City Mission downtown. We're going to do something that's going to change homelessness in our generation. And they just had this big vision. And then after a while of trying some things that weren't working, they're like, you know what, why don't we just love the ones that are like outside of our office building with our other employees that are friends and see if we could just feed the ones who are outside a couple times a week or once a week. And after they did that and they were faithful, and they did it for years, then they started getting upgraded vision that was like, well, we can take this and pilot this for other people and teach other people how to feed the correct way and how to work with local groups. And they realize we are not the Union Mission. We are not the biggest thing that God's doing in this area. We're just making a contribution. But God provided all of the meals. God provided all of the people, the team, for years in this, but took out some of maybe the self-centered ambition that they had to be the answer. And I know for a lot of us, it's easing into a Messiah complex or it's just a complex. Like that's why I think sometimes when people get prophecies, like you're going to steward a lot for the kingdom. And so the person who's like, I'm going to be a billionaire or whatever, or some of the people who are giving prophetic words don't know how to make it just normal. And so they exaggerate it. And it's really important that we hear things in the context of like, what can we do in our life right now and make a move towards the vision God's given us towards people who need to see Jesus in so many different ways, people who need love in such a real way. And I think that this is one of those practical ways to think of it, but it's also one of the ways to access it the fastest, because even if it's small, it's big. You know, I want to make a declaration over you. And I really think some of you are at that place where it's like, I can see like the rain's going to come down of different provisions. And sometimes you can miss a provision that comes because it doesn't come in the biggest package on the holiday. It comes in the most unlikely time when you're not even expecting it. And you're also busy with something else. And so sometimes we have to learn how to slow down when a provision comes. Maybe it's a relationship and you don't have time for a new relationship. So you have to slow down and go, wait, but God's brought this one in. Or maybe it's a opportunity or that requires your talents. You're like, I'm already extended. And you have to go, wait a minute, this might be an important time to give. It's not just another good thing to do, but it's actually, it feels like a moment of destiny on it. And I want to encourage you, like this year, maybe some of the things that God's bringing aren't the final provision that you're dreaming of and hoping for, but maybe there's stepping stone provisions to lead you into pathways and into relationships that will be part of the vision that God's given you. So I'm going to encourage you as I pray over you and as we pray together that you open your heart to maybe areas you're not seeing where provision's coming or you haven't partnered your faith for it or you missed it, and that you just say, God, hey, help me to really see, discern, know when something comes from you, to slow down for it, to look for it, to celebrate it, to glory in the fact that you chose to bring this into my life right now. And I know, you know, one of the greatest relationships I have right now, friendships I have right now, I didn't even want to meet with the person the first time. It was like the high profile person who I just felt like a lot, you know, just felt like a lot to meet with them. And I didn't think about life, friendship, or anything else. It just felt like another person to meet. And I had one of those check marks in my spirit to say, love them. And, you know, it just felt Jesus's love. And we've become really good friends because of that. And I've learned so much. And I, all the stuff that I was like exhausted in life, and so I didn't have room for one more person, all that stuff I put on the back burner and said, I need to change so that I'm not like that. But also I need to open my heart when God brings something or someone. So I want to pray and say, first of all, that resources are coming. I just declare over you, we know biblically that God always brings resources for every destiny, every purpose of your life. So I just speak that over you, and not just finances, and we declare finances, but also the right people, open doors, divine strategies, supernatural favor. God's releasing fresh faith in you right now to break through whatever's been hindering in his provision. He's releasing the faith. And it's even before a breaking off maybe of warfare, there's a breaking into faith to say, no matter what's opposing us, nothing can oppose God. No weapon formed against Jesus's work will prosper. So where you've seen delay, I declare acceleration. And where there's been a lack, I declare abundance. And where there's been uncertainty, I release clarity in Jesus's name. Maybe there's been confusion over some of the purposes and destiny. Maybe some of this has been long-term, even during fatigue, because you're halfway through, you know, this wilderness before you get into whatever the calling is. And you're like, I have so much fatigue. Give that to him. Cast your cares on God. Cast your cares on Jesus. He's so generous. And I'm going to encourage you to get it right internally first before you have to see it externally, because there's something where we can come into full alignment in our faith that energizes us before we get faith from the circumstances changing. And that's what the beauty of Christianity is, that we are blessed when we get our inside world right, because then we see God in our outside world, according to Matthew 5. So the provision is already in motion right now. Step forward, receive it. Like, really put your heart out right now like a bucket and say, God, I receive everything I need to get the job done and to serve you, Jesus, to love you with all my heart. And I hope that this helped you today. I hope that if you're in a place of provision, tell us in the comments what we're going to be praying for. We'd love to hear from you. If you're listening on podcasts, come over to our YouTube channel, subscribe, hit notifications. If you're on podcasts, also consider leaving us a review for the show. We so appreciate doing life with everybody here on the social media world and in this space of a virtual internet. And you guys have been such an incredible, incredible group going on a journey with us to help in culture, to look at our Sean Bull Show, which is a news commentary show, or Exploring the Marketplace, which is our podcast where we create conversations about what's happening in the marketplace with Christians, and here on Exploring the Prophetic every Sunday. I'm going to encourage you guys also to, this is a virtual offering. This only happens because of generous donations from people just like you. Thank you so much for being with us. If you're a partner, it's amazing how much we've been able to build because of your faithfulness. And we love you, and we'll see you next time on Exploring the Prophetic.
Thank you for listening to Exploring the Prophetic. If you want to learn more about hearing God's voice, come over to my website, www.seanbowles.com. That's S-H-A-W-N-B-O-L-Z. I have many resources for you there, like some on hearing God, like my best-selling book, Translating God. I have prayer books on breakthrough and provision to help you to have more language to talk to God. And we even have a devotional on this series called Exploring the Prophetic. I also want to invite you to spiritually grow by joining our online thriving mentoring community, where we have 12 four-week live classes a year on subjects that will shape your relationship with God. Themes like hearing God's voice, dream interpretation, deliverance, and so many other spiritual themes from expert teachers. And I personally get to train you in my Prophetic Monthly Mastermind live group if you join. Plus, when you join, we have an amazing online community with a spiritual growth pastor who will lead you in weekly groups to practice what you're learning. Go to bowlsministries.com or seanbowles.com and click on Mentoring Community. See you next time on Exploring the Prophetic.